Download Gundelio for free today and start saving money. Get alerts to hot deals by walking into a gun store. Plus, offers, new products, and videos sent straight to your smartphone. Get your gear for less. Gundelio.com.
All righty, we're back with you. Tom Gresham here. It's Gun Talk. If you'd like to join us, the number's kind of easy, 866-TALK-GUN, or even easier, if you just call Tom, me, that's me, Tom Talk Gun. That'll get you in here. Just a minute, I want to talk about this bill that's just been introduced into the United States Congress by Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas. What an embarrassment she is. Licensing of firearms and ammunition, firearms licensing system. One of the things that's interesting about this, got to be 21 years of age, undergo a criminal background check to buy a gun, to own a gun. Undergo a psychological evaluation as deemed necessary by the licensed psychologist involved. The evaluation includes a psychological evaluation of other members of the household in which the individual resides. It goes on and on. It's like somebody needs a psych eval, but I'm not sure it's the gun buyer. It may be the good congresswoman from Texas. We are making headway, though. Things are getting done. You may not have heard about it. I know that we're looking at the Biden administration, and they are, trust me, I think they have Gun Violence Week. They're calling it this coming week, and then maybe the anniversary of the Parkland shooting. They're going to do something to coincide with all of that. But we're making headway, and one of the groups that's making headway that you may not have heard enough about is Knife Rights. Joining me is the founder, the head of Knife Rights, Doug Ritter. Hey, Doug, you guys have been busy.
We have. Despite 2020 being a mess.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and that's saying it kindly. Yes.
Yes. That's our kid-friendly description.
There you go.
We got something done in 2020. We passed preemption and knife law preemption in West Virginia. We introduced our Legal Blade App 2.0, which covers all the knife laws in the 50 states and the District of Columbia. We published Evan Knappen's Aftermath of Self-Defense, which is sort of a primer on what to do or not to do after a righteous self-defense incident.
Right.
And we passed our Knife Rights Ohio Knife Reform Bill, which the governor signed in on the 11th of this month, this year. And that was a huge fight. That was 6 years of effort, including the last 2 years in the current session in Ohio, or the then current session in Ohio.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, Knife Rights is a national group. It's about the Second Amendment as it relates to knives and tools and cutting-edged weapons and that type of thing. And for those who may not have paid a lot of attention, in a lot of states, although a lot fewer now because of knife rights, in a lot of states, you could be arrested for carrying a simple pocket knife, literally for just carrying a regular old pocket knife. Not only could you be arrested, but tens of thousands of people were being arrested, right?
That's exactly correct, particularly in New York, where it took 9.5 years to beat New York City down. And get the governor to sign our bill that solved that problem after he vetoed it twice with our lawsuit headed to the Supreme Court. So, 33 bills now passed in 23 states since 2010.
That's because you have this
lot less.
You have this massive staff working on things, right?
all three of us.
I was going to say, I think I'm talking to 33% of the staff right now. How do you get so much done and you're such a skinny outfit?
So part of the reason we're able to get so much done is it's not guns. I know that sounds weird. It's not like nobody knows we're a Second Amendment outfit. We don't make any claims otherwise.
Right.
But we get bipartisan support for our bills because it's not guns, but it is criminal justice reform. We have bills sponsored by NRA F-rated Democrats. In fact, all our bills in Texas, including this year's bill to make Texas more like everyone thinks Texas is, is sponsored by Democratic Representative Harold Dutton, who's, you know, an NRA F-rated Democrat. It's very different. We're lucky that way, if you want to call it that.
And it's interesting, you mentioned
we work real hard, though.
Yeah, you do. You work hard and you work smart. And it's interesting, you mentioned this as criminal justice reform. And the reality is, in not just a few, but in a lot of places, laws against the carrying of knives or certain kinds of knives have historically been used disproportionately against certain minorities. I mean, that's just a fact.
It's a fact. In New York City, where we were fighting them, and we have really good statistics, 85% of the arrests for carrying an illegal gravity knife, which is just a regular pocket knife for most of us,
right,
were persons of color. 85%, even in white majority neighborhoods.
So, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we don't have to go any further. We know exactly what was going on. And this is a way that you can get a broader support group involved in this. And I see that you're working on things in North Dakota, in Illinois. It's like in places where people would say, well, you're not going to get anywhere there. I mean, you're not going to make headway there, but you do.
We do. We've been very successful in places that people thought we had no chance. Illinois, a classic example, where we were able to get their ban on switchblades repealed through a Democratic majority legislature and governor. We get things done because we're not guns. We're knives.
Well, there's something else you do. There's something else you do that I would like for a lot of our people to pay attention to, and that is you will take a partial win and then come back and get more of the win later, as opposed to saying it's either all or nothing. You're either with us or you're our enemy.
That's very true. I mean, look at Texas. Okay, so Texas, you have to remember, only has legislative second session every second year, so every other year. So we started out in 2013 with repeal of their switchblade ban. In 2015, we passed knife law preemption. In 2017, we removed all illegal knives from Texas law, finally allowing Texans to carry a Bowie knife as well as a dagger and a sword. In 2019, our bill removed the ban on the carry of clubs, including tomahawks, and possession of knuckles, which included trench knives and things like that. And we're back this year with our bill to, again, incrementally remove some more bans on certain lengths of knives in certain places. So, yeah, we've been very successful at getting as much as we can and coming back and getting more.
And I would hold that up as a great example to those, and you know who I'm talking about. There are certain gun rights groups who say, you know, we never compromise. We never compromise, to which I always say, and you never get anything done. You know, taking half a win is still a win, and then you come back and get more later. I mean, it just fries me that people can't see that.
I think, you know, part of it is, I think a lot of people don't understand how legislation works and how you get things done. You have to be in it for the long term. You have to have a long-term view. I mean, Ohio, 6 years. New York, 9.5 years. Texas, since 2013.
But I want it now. I want it right now.
Well, if you want it right now, there's a good chance you're not going to get it.
you're going to get the no is what you're going to get.
Yeah, and, you know, we get that reaction from people when we get part of the way done and don't get everything we want. But they, you know, these folks who've been with us and supporting us for a long time understand that, you know, that single bill is not the end of it. We will be back next year, next session, to get more done until we get it all done.
Well, it's like, and you know Ryan, my son, and his deal, he's a career sales guy. I kind of am hearing his voice right now. He says, Yeah, he says, when they tell me no, I don't hear no. All I hear is not yet.
Yes, and that is exactly it. If you look at, so I live in Arizona. We have arguably the best gun laws in the nation. We didn't get there overnight. We got mm-hmm. there over the last two decades of whittling back restrictive gun laws. Now we have constitutional carry. You know, there's a bunch of bills in the legislature this year to make it even better. You get done what you can get done, and then you come back for more. You know, sometimes stuff happens. You know, in Texas, we thought we were getting rid of all their illegal knives. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a young man was stabbed a block from the legislature, from the Capitol. And so we got what we could. We compromised. And, mm-hmm. you know, now we're going back to peel that stuff back as well. You've got to be, if you want to get things done in the legislature, you have got to be flexible. You know, Congress is a different story. Congress is more difficult because you typically only get one bite at the apple. Right. So our Knife Owners Protection Act is, you know, we're not going to compromise much on that just to get something passed. You know, some people have tried that, right. and we said no, because there, if you yeah. address a subject, you may not get back for two decades, because right. we took care of that. Yeah. But the state legislatures, you can just go back every session. And in most of the state legislatures, that means next year.
Yep,
we'll
exactly.
be back.
There it is.
You know, the same thing happens if we don't get one passed. We're back.
I want to drive people to your website, kniferights.org. If you believe in this, if you agree with this, I would encourage you to go join, to make a donation, to get involved, to help out. And, of course, you also have these fabulous giveaways that you do throughout the year. And so people need to be involved with that. Doug, I we're out of time, and I apologize. It's always too short. But, man, you guys are doing great work, man.
Thank you so much, Tom. You know I appreciate your friendship and your support.
Absolutely.
It helps make it happen.
And for those who are wondering, yeah, Doug is a gun guy as well as a knife guy, right?
Absolutely.
Always. There you go. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Best to the family. 866-TALK-GUN. Do you carry a pocket knife? Well, only when I'm wearing pants. Be right back.
For more than 70 years, Timney Triggers has been enhancing the shooter's experience. Whether it's a local competition, a day at the range, or even the hunt of a lifetime, setting the standard in aftermarket triggers, Timney is now producing more than 170 models of triggers for bolt-action rifles, shotguns, AR rifles, and semi-automatic rifles. Proudly made in the USA since 1946. Find your new trigger at TimneyTriggers.com.
Hi, this is Tom Gresham from Gun Talk. America is losing critical wildlife habitat at a rate of one football field every hour. It's happening on the Louisiana coast, but it's critical to all sportsmen and conservationists. These precious wetlands provide winter habitat for more than 10 million ducks and geese annually, waterfowl that migrate north through dozens of states. Don't shrug it off. Get involved. You can help. Visit vanishingparadise.org.
Guns.com is the best place to buy or sell a firearm online. If you want to sell your current firearm, check out their Sell Your Gun program. They give competitive offers and make it gun-believably easy to sell your gun the safe and secure way. You get paid fast. Simply pack your gun and ship it for free to Guns.com. Learn how to safely sell your gun today at Guns.com. That's Guns.com.
Once in a while, we all kind of had the thought that some of the gun banners are truly demented. And I mean that in the kindest way. Bless their hearts. But we get solid examples occasionally, and we just had another one come up. Congressional Bill H.R. 127. It actually is beautiful, in its insanity, because it is truly insane. It was introduced by Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat, Texas congresswoman out of Texas Congressional District 18. There are no co-sponsors. You'll see. Sorry, I hate doing that, but you'll see why. Require, let's see, firearms registration system, licensing of firearms and ammunition. Let's see, the make, model, and serial number of the firearm, the identity of the owner of the firearm, the date of the firearm was acquired by the owner, where the firearm is or will be stored, and a notice specifying the identity of any person to whom and any period of time during which the firearm will be loaned to the person. That's just for starters. Let's see here. Must be 21 years just to get your license to own a gun, right? Must be 21 years of age, undergo a criminal background check, undergo a psychological evaluation, including a psychologist interviewing all the people in the home where the gun's going to be. Further determination, the state of mind of the mental, emotional, and relational stability of the individual. Successfully complete a training course certified by the Attorney General. What if the Attorney General decides not to certify any training courses? Oh, gee, that would never, or never mind. Let's see. Oh, the fee, the license for the fee for the license is $800. Yeah, you heard me right. I don't know if that's per person or per gun. It shall be unlawful for a person to sell or give a firearm or ammunition to another person unless the person has notified the Attorney General. I guess that would be the Attorney General of the United States of America, that you're going to be giving someone a gun or a round of ammo. It'd be unlawful for a person to loan a firearm or ammunition unless you notify the Attorney General of the United States. It goes on and on and on. It shall be unlawful for any person to possess a large capacity ammunition feeding device. That would be anything that holds more than 10 rounds. So understand it, be unlawful to possess it, not to buy it. That is, all the ones that you have now would be illegal. If you are a real shooter, if you're a competitive shooter, if you're a gun person, and I know some people who are not, they go, well, yeah, what's the big deal? I said, well, no, you're not understanding. I'm not talking about two or three or four magazines. I'm talking about 300 or 400 or 500 magazines that a person may own. Crazy, huh? This is who they are. And yes, she's nutso, but somebody on her staff, or more likely, in fact, I would bet large money, that this was written by one of the gun ban groups. This bill was probably written by one of the Bloomberg groups and handed to her and her staff, and they say, yeah, we'll file that one. And here's what they do. They throw this out as, yeah, we're going to push for this. Everybody goes, that's just crazy. That's insane. Are you people nuts? They go, okay, well, we'll compromise with you. We'll just take half of that. And the media says, oh, look how reasonable they are. Sensible, common sense, gun reform. I always love that. Gun reform. Really? It's a restriction on a constitutionally guaranteed right. And because somehow we're not going to take all of them, that's considered reasonable? It's crazy. Not only is it crazy, she's crazy. Let's talk to David on line 4 out of Springfield, Missouri. David, one gun. What's your choice? See if David's still there. Hey, David, you there? David is getting a ham and cheese sandwich right now. He'll be back in a minute. Let's go talk to James in Texas on line 3. Hey, James, you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. What you got?
I got 2 Marlin Kemp 9s. I bought on gun brokers, an early serial number and a late serial number. The early serial number is perfect. The late serial number was perfect, good shape and so forth. and went out and started shooting it. And a friend was with me, and we started wiping it down after about 20 rounds and noticed a very slight bulge about 3 inches from the end of the barrel. You can't see it, but you can feed it with your with a rag. And
You know what happened? You know what happened, don't you? Probably somebody ended up with a squib load, got a bullet stuck in the barrel, and then fired another round behind it. And that barrel, the bullet that got stuck was probably out there pretty close to the muzzle. And that second bullet came in there and got a little bulge in the barrel. So here's a question. How, the one with the bulge in the barrel, how does it shoot?
Perfect. As far as I can tell, I'm not that good a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a guy that's shooting 200 yards with it and trying to shoot the size of a dime, that might bother him. But, you know, I shoot, my rifle range at the farm has 20 yards, 40 yards, and...
Right. It's a 9mm carbine. Yeah. You know what? I would just keep shooting it, and I wouldn't worry about it. It's one of those deals you go, okay, well, that was kind of interesting, and it's a talking point, maybe even a conversation point, but it's not going to make the gun unsafe, and I would just continue to shoot it. But, yeah, I think that's probably exactly what happened. And, unfortunately, you know, Marlin was just purchased by Ruger, and Ruger says, look, we'll help you with repairs, and we'll send you to repair centers. But Ruger is not going to warranty the guns that were made by Marlin before they purchased it. That's not part of the deal that they have. But they are going to have warranty stations or places where you can get guns repaired, and they list it on their website. But on that one, I wouldn't worry about it. Like I say, it's shooting perfect. I just keep shooting. I wouldn't worry about it. But, hey, file that one under the old stuff happens. Oh, yeah, and if you buy a gun off a gun broker, look at it carefully and make sure you have some kind of an option for getting it back. And we're back with you, Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk, 866-TALK-GUN, or call me at Tom Talk Gun. Also, you can visit us over on Twitter. I am at Gun Talk. Go to shopguntalk.com for a lot of things we have for sale there. Also, Gun Dealio, that's our app, free for your iPhone and your Android phone, gundealio.com. It's also just a website. You go there, you kind of round up guns and ammo and try to find them for you and have them available. So we have the links there. GUNDEALIO, GunDealio.com. Obviously, we have all of our Facebook, YouTube. We have, and I'm not kidding, thousands of videos up. Shooting different kinds of guns, talking to top shooters, showing technique, showing cool guns, nice, you know, the nifty ammo when you can find it. Come visit us there. Be a part of the community. In the meantime, give me a call here, 866-TALK-GUN. We're always interested in what you have been shooting. Are you still going to the range? That's the question. In this weird period of time where it's harder to find ammo, I mean, sometimes darn near impossible, are you shooting less? My guess is that a lot of people are. Or when you go to the range, do you shoot fewer rounds? I guess the overall question is, how are you handling this strange situation that we find ourselves in? What are you doing with this whole thing? 866-TALK-GUN. David has called in from Springfield, Mo. Dave, we were talking about the idea of, you know, is there one handgun that you could use or handgun caliber you could use for everything? You got some thoughts?
Yeah, I've thought about that for 40 years.
Yeah?
You got a one-gun scenario, and I decided on the Glock 26 as a perfect carry gun, either ankle holster, one of the crossbreed holsters or something like that.
Right.
And it is a great gun. I've got more than one, and my second choice, if I had a second choice, would be the Ruger LCR.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best 38 ever, really.
It's a really nice little revolver. They're lightweight. The trigger pull is great. And obviously, it sounds to me like when you're thinking of this, you're thinking of this primarily as self-defense use, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And, of course, I come to it and think, okay, but what if I wanted to carry a gun in the woods in the West where I had to worry about bears and mountain lions and wolves and things like that? At that point, I could, and I have carried a 9mm, but I kind of think I might edge toward having a little more power. What do you think?
I think the 10mm in the Glock.
Yep.
I'm sold on Glocks. I was a 1911 man for a long time.
Right.
That was the only handgun made, as far as I was concerned.
Ah.
But I got into Glocks, and I had a lot of 45 ammo, and I bought a Glock 30.
Right.
45.
Mm-hmm.
What a sweet shooting weapon that is.
Oh, yeah.
You can take it at the range and shoot it all day without any problem.
Well,
and
the thing about Glocks is they just work. They just keep working. Now, whether it fits your hand is another deal. The original Glocks were pretty blocky and pretty chunky, and I couldn't use them very well. They do have some models now that have much thinner grips, and they're a lot more ergonomic, if you will. But I'm going to circle back to your thought on the 10mm. That actually, I think that has legs, because you could certainly use a 10mm very effectively for self-defense, clearly. It would be good for hunting. I have no problem hunting deer or something like that with a 10mm. And it would be a reasonably effective choice for bear protection.
Well, you take the 10mm with the right ammo in it, that'll take care of a bear generally. You get some of the hard case ammo, something like that, the penetrators.
Right.
And it's a lot better to have maybe 12 or 13 shots than have five or six.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's interesting you mentioned it. I don't have the Glock. It's Glock 20 is their 10mm.
Yeah.
I have the newer Springfield Armory, 16 or I think it's 16 rounds of 10mm. And I have two or three single stack. I got 1911s. I've got the SIG. We've done two 10mm as our gun talk guns that we have issued in the past, which we like a lot. So I like the 10s. I was always a fan of the 41 Magnum. The 10 gets kind of close to the 41 Magnum. I don't know if you noticed, by the way, I just saw four new loads were announced, three from Federal and one from Browning in 10mm. And these are like full power hunting bear protection loads. So, you know, it used to be the 10 was kind of a niche cartridge, and I don't think it is anymore.
No, I think the word's gotten out of how good round it is. And really, when you get used to it, I've shot them. When you get used to them, they aren't that bad.
No, I agree. In a full-size gun, not bad. In a smaller gun, if you have some weight. Now, I've never shot it in the baby Glock, because they do make a baby Glock in the 10mm, right?
Yes, they do.
How is that?
I haven't shot that one yet, but the guys that have them like them.
You got a
bunch of people that love the 10mm. I think they copied Ted Nugent. He kind of sold them on it, and they tried it out, and they said, "Well, you know, this is pretty good. This thing will shoot a long ways."
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think he was one of the major proponents of it. Actually, the Colonel Jeff Cooper first, and then Ted Nugent. A lot of people paid attention and said, "Well, what's all this about?" And they went out and bought one and went, "Well, that's pretty darn cool. I mean, that's an honest 100-yard pistol or revolver or some revolvers and semi-autos." And Smith has the 610. It's a revolver and 10mm.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool stuff. Look, I got to scoot to the break here. I appreciate it. I like your idea, though. You know, it's all about picking the one that works for you. And this is a silly question. We do it occasionally. If you had to pick one and use it for everything, one handgun this time, just handguns, what would be your choice? Model? Caliber, action type. Steve, don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you when we come back. And we still have room for everybody else. Join us by calling 866-TALK-GUN.
Brownells continues its tribute to Eugene Stoner, the legendary designer of the AR-15, AR-180, and more. The What Would Stoner Do 2020 rifle answers the question of what Stoner would have done with modern lightweight materials. Inspired by another Stoner design, Brownells BRN-180 lower receivers help complete firearms optimized for folding stocks or pistol braces. Visit Brownells.com today and pay tribute to one of America's greatest firearm engineers.
Freshwater wetlands cover only 1% of the Earth's surface, but provide habitat for 12% of all animals. Why are wetlands such good homes? The plants, water, and soils of wetlands provide food and homes for mammals, birds, fish, and more. Sadly, wetlands are at risk, and that puts wildlife at risk too. To find out more about wetlands and how you can help, visit ducks.org.
Thompson Center introduces the TC Compass 2 and TC Compass 2 compact hunting rifles, featuring a threaded muzzle and new generation 2 trigger system with a crisp light pull for that legendary accuracy in the field. Available in popular calibers, the TC Compass 2 is a feature-rich rifle packed with value, and the adaptability of the TC Compass 2 compact is perfect for a broad range of hunters and shooters. Make the shots that count. Visit tcarms.com.
So during the break, Jim's asked me, he said, well, can't you shoot a 40 Smith & Wesson in a 10mm revolver? Yes, you can. Whether or not it's advised, but yeah, you could. A lot of people do that. The Smith & Wesson 610 revolver, a lot of people actually have been known to shoot 40 in that, which reminds me, it's the old deal of these days of whatever ammo you can buy, you buy, and then you, if you don't have a gun for it, then you go out and see if you can find a gun for it. I mean, people run around saying, you know, I got a huge box of this German ammo. I don't have a rifle for it. Anybody got, you know, it's crazy times, just nutso stuff. 866-TALK-GUN gets you in here. Let's see. Steve's out of Omaha, Nebraska on 2. Steve, thanks for your patience. You're up, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, thanks. The 610 comes with moon clips, so
yep.
You can shoot.
That would work just fine.
Absolutely. That's what I do with mine. I have one.
Oh, okay.
But I called about the Savage 110 ultralight.
Talk to me.
I had a 110 tactical, and it was just too heavy to tow it around in the woods with. And I traded it in on it wasn't sentimental, so I traded it in and got the gun I should have gotten in the first place, which was the ultralight. And it was everything that I thought the tactical was going to be.
What
still
caliber?
Shoots just as tight. And then 6.5 Creedmoor.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it's light recoil, not very noisy, and then I have a suppressor, so it's even quieter than that. So it's
what does that rifle weigh?
With no glass and unloaded, it's about 6.2.
That's nice. That's nice and light.
Carbon fiber, yeah. And with glass and loaded, it's like only 7.5. So
I've got a
Vortex Diamondback on it, and it's Tom, it's just amazing.
How's it shoot?
And excellent. I mean, it shoots as good as the tactical did, but that's fantastic. I mean, with my reloads, all the bullets touch. So, I mean, out of the box, it was an inch and a quarter. Inch and a quarter. Out of the box.
Wow.
At 100.
Right.
And, now they touch. So, I mean, it's tough. And now I hate KJ now because I was listening to the midweek podcast.
Yeah.
And Savage has now come out with a straight pull. Are you kidding?
Oh, yes. You can switch the bolt over from left to right. Same rifle. Just switch it over on the straight pull. It's a left-handed or it's a right-handed rifle. It's crazy.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. Oh, now, there was a guy who called an hour or so ago, whatever it was, that he was worried about left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm left-eye dominant, right-handed, left-eye dominant.
Okay.
And I prefer the right bolt because I never have to take my left hand off the grip.
Yep, I know people who do exactly that. And I've seen people who shoot right-handed who prefer a left-handed bolt action, particularly when shooting prairie dogs, because they just sit there and just work the bolt, and their hand never comes off the grip and the trigger.
Yes, and with the short action, your cheek never comes off either.
Right,
you gotta be careful.
You can actually,
that thing's riding your teeth, so you gotta be careful. But the shooting grip and the cheek weld, if those never move, your follow shots are so much better. And it's just when you play the wind and you go, oh, let's get four or five shots in before the wind changes.
Right.
I mean, that's, oh, yeah.
And for those who are wondering, why would you go with the lightweight rifle? You gain a lot in carryability, and what you give up is accuracy as you start to shoot a lot of rounds, because the lighter barrel tends to heat up and start moving bullets around. But if it's a hunting rig, by the time you get to the fourth or fifth shot, you're not shooting at a stationary target generally.
Right. Yeah. That's, yeah. It's all about hiking in light and hiking out light because you're dragging something, hopefully. So
there you go. There you go. Well, that's a great range report. I appreciate that, sir. That's pretty cool. Let me see. I'm not sure. Let's try this. We'll try to get Les in here out of Saline, Louisiana on 4. Les, we're going to be short on time, so jump into it, please.
Okay. The fellow with the bouncing Browning, the bipod that was bouncing up,
yep.
The people who shoot those do what they call loading. They push against the bipod.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit with their shoulder to prevent that bounce. His pulling down with the strap was doing the same thing.
So they're
and
actually pushing
if you
forward.
Can't do that, short nose up, put the feet on sandbags and try it that way.
So, but they actually push him forward with their shoulder because the bipod actually angles a little bit forward toward the muzzle. So you're kind of pushing into that and you're loading it up that way is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Exactly right. Now, it probably takes some practice to be able to push the same amount each time.
Right. Interesting, though. Yeah, that's just a technique. And it's, you know, one of the things that's happening is that we are learning so much more about how to shoot more accurately. We have better rifles, better ammo, better scopes, better accessories, and better shooting technique. And to my way of thinking, it's all coming out of the long-range shooting competition where people are figuring out, what's it going to take for me to shoot a 5- or a 6-inch group at 1,000 yards? And that's where all these fine, fine points add up and make a difference.
Right.
There it is. Hey, Les, I appreciate that. That's good info. Frankly, was unfamiliar with that. Hadn't done a lot of shooting with bipods off of benches like that. The idea of loading it up, and as soon as you described it, I'm going, well, yeah, that makes sense. You just press forward on it, and you're kind of, it's actually kind of almost a way of locking it up. It also keeps it from bouncing upward, so that makes sense as well. Again, it's like I was having a conversation online with somebody. We're talking about reloading. I said, well, you know, how much difference does this make if you change a powder charge by this much? And they said, oh, yeah. And one guy said, well, you know, I've tested that for thousands and thousands of rounds. He's a long-range shooter. And these guys burn up barrels like crazy, burn up ammo. And he says, you know, this much charge weight makes this much difference. And here's the results. And here are the pictures of the targets I've been shooting. I mean, people are just, they're doing things that 20 years ago we never would have imagined. And they're shooting smaller groups, and we are all the beneficiaries of that because we're getting these rifles that are shooting half-inch groups out of the box sometimes straight from the factory on a $500 rifle. We don't have to spend $7,000 anymore to get that. It's kind of crazy what's going on now. It's kind of changed the paradigm of what is actually possible and maybe even what is normal, although no one's ever accused me of being normal. Such is life. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk. All right, back with the 866-TALK-GUN. If you'd like to join us now, or if you'd like to be part of the after show, now's a good time to call. 866-TALK-GUN. If you have not heard the after show before, shame on you. You're missing out on fun stuff. We kind of just continue the show and do it. It's not for use on the radio stations because stuff we do there would never be played on a radio show, on radio stations. But you can check it out wherever you get your podcast. Look for the Gun Talk After Show. Jim called in out of Seattle on line 1. Jim, this sounds like a subject that's near and dear to my heart. You have the floor, sir.
Yeah, well, thanks, Tom. I sure appreciate your show and all you do for gun rights. it's been a your platform's been a great resource for me to learn more about gun rights. So I do appreciate it.
Thank you. I just wanted
to add one comment to the fellow that called in from New York that expressed frustration over. It sounded like he really wanted to be able to help gun rights, was frustrated with folks he was running into that felt burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things I worry about is someone like that who is really interested in creating change, but he's not willing to listen to, or maybe, maybe is frustrated, and so he's not able to hear kind of what's been done and tried, it didn't work, and instead turn his energy toward making what was tried better to make it work. Because I think that's what really would advance the, help resolve issues and advance the, the cause. And so I just hope people remember to kind of listen to what people have tried and might be frustrated because they're thinking of all kinds of things to try to get done and hearing a bunch of no, no, no. And that should be just energizing to try to figure out what needs to be improved to make it work.
Well, to your point, I think you're right. To your point, I'm just thinking out loud here as I go. When you get into the gun rights battle, you have these ideas of what we can do, what we should do. We ought to be doing this, we ought to be doing that. And maybe the thing to do is to stop and say, okay, who's actually getting things done, and why don't I talk to them and find out how have you been able to get things done over the years? And it's usually a slow, methodical, painstaking, and painful process to get things done, whether it's in legislature or other places. I mean, a lot of these court cases we win, we fight them for 10 years before we get a win. And the instant gratification, simply it's not there. It's not going to work. That's not how the world works, although people say we should. But I'm going to go back to something I think you were kind of touching on, which is in any group, and I don't care if it's your shooting range or shooting club or whatever it is, about 10% of the people will show up on work days. About 10% of the people will actually be the ones that get things done. And if you're one of those, after a while, you just realize, I can't get frustrated and mad at the people who don't show up because it's just not productive. It's not worth my time and effort to worry about them. Let's just get with the people who know how to get things done and start working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think to try to be smart within the circle, the social circle that's present, is really, I think, the name of the game. But not to downplay his feelings, I certainly sympathize with the fact that you feel like you're trying to make, you really want to make an impact, and it's just mm-hmm. been difficult. But I think also people need to recognize that when you're dealing with gun rights change, it's you're dealing with government. And
yes.
So you're right when you talk about how it's such a long road. Government change is inches, is a game of inches. It's never moving the football 100-yard TDs. So
that's it in a nutshell. It's a game of inches. And as I tell people, and it irritates them, I say that being right is not, it's almost immaterial. It's about winning. How do you win? How do I win? But we're right. Yeah, I get that. But you're not winning. Your techniques suck. You got to have better technique. Learn from those who've been there doing it for years and years. Adopt those techniques. We need everybody in the fight. The question is, are you in?